Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome aboard of Blog Talk Radio, all of you from around the world. We're glad to have you with us today. Please, no music. Please, no music. There we go. We're glad to have you with us today. We welcome you and all of our viewers from around the world, wherever you may be. And it would be wonderful to have you send us an email and a postcard saying, hey, we're listening over here in this nation. Now, I can see 32 nations, but that's only those who are at least 1% of our viewing audience. So there's a lot more nations that are involved that you don't have 1% yet. We welcome you to send us an email, a message, however you can. You can send a postcard, P.O. Box 4315, Williston, North Dakota, 58802. I know we're not in Williston right now, but we'll be back there in the near future. And if not, we'll just pay Brother Dave to run over to the post office, get all the stuff, hold a picture up, and say, hey, look what these guys sent you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Now, you know, today is the day when the whole world celebrates the fact that Jesus triumphed in his life. And he made that triumphal entry into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. We're going to read the story, and we're going to talk about this as we go throughout this program this morning. We want to welcome you. I don't have palm branches. No. You know, I told Leanne and Francetta that there's a pine tree out here, but nobody thought that was the same thing that we could do. And we don't have any clothes laying on the floor anywhere either, so that was for Jesus.
That's right. Phyllis said you don't have to have palm branches to read about them.
All right, so that's good. There we go. Amen. So let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to be together. Thank you for these wonderful people. We declare over this program today that everyone who sees this program will know and understand you and who you are today. May we lift up your name, Jesus. May we lift up your name and glory and honor and praise go to your name, just like on that day when you rode into it and they were singing Hosanna to God in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And we give you glory and we give you honor. We give you praise for it. If you're just listening, you just happened on us, you saw the Hosanna, our beautiful decorations behind us today, and you're looking at this thing, what's going on? This is Sunday Morning Live right here. We call it 1 hour of faith, where we teach a principle on faith every time we come here. And once you're around here a little bit and you get to be a part of the originating crew and be on Zoom and everything with us, all you got to do is ask. But then we talk about everything while we're getting set up, and it's a blast. We always have a good time, and we welcome you to be a part of that too. Let's go today to our verses of Scripture, and we'll get started. Now,
it's
I really...
Singing, but it's a song. You know.
Somewhere, Sister Francetta has found a palm branch, and the thing about Francetta is she is of the faith, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do with it now, but I'm just going to hold it while I read, okay? Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Here we go. Mark chapter 11 is actually the story of Jesus' triumphal entry. All right? And here's the revelation of it. Mark 11 is filled with all kinds of truth about what happened in those last days of Jesus' life, in the last 7 days. And so we're going to go through this, and today we're at the point of the triumphal entry, Mark chapter 11, and we're going to read. Hold on, I got to put the palm branches down for just a second. You ready? Hold your Bible up. We'll make our confession like we do every time we come here. Almost every time, but I'll say that in faith. Say it with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's word says.
I believe what God's word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Holy Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit of
is
God.
Making his word come alive.
Is making his word come alive.
In my life today.
In my life today.
I receive the word of God.
And plant him as a seed.
That is producing a hundredfold and more.
It is producing a hundredfold and more.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of my heart.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
Because I want it everywhere.
Because I want it everywhere.
Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Here we go.
Amen.
Mark chapter 11, verse number 1. I'll hold my palm branches again. Which is, am I supposed to do the heads or the tails? I like that one better.
Yeah.
Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, it's a city with some suburbs, you can see. He sent two of his disciples and he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose him and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it here. So they went their way, found the colt tied by the door outside on the street. Aren't you glad the colt wasn't in the house? All right. And they loosed it. Some of those that stood there said to them, what are you doing loosing the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded them. So they let it go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. Many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches, I got some, from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. As Jesus rode in, he had a king's acceptance. What's the word I'm looking for? When you think about Jesus, he didn't come to the kings and the royal leaders. He came to the simple. He came to those who would have been looked down on by the royalty. When Jesus showed up, the angels didn't show up to Herod and his people. The angels showed up to the shepherds and said, hey, in the city of Jerusalem, there's a Savior born. We're going to get to that in a minute. Now, verse 11, I'm in Luke 11:11. Jesus went into Jerusalem, into the temple. So when he looked around at all the things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And then it says, now the next day, and then we have the story of the fig tree withering. Now, I want you to look at it. I want you to read it from this set of verses also. Let's go to John 12:12. Somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the word.
John 12:12. Now, I did find something about holding these palm branches. Makes it a little bit more difficult to turn my pages in my Bible.
You can probably lay them down.
I can lay them down? I like it, though.
I know.
This is the truth. You ready? 25 years of ministry. This is the first time I've ever held a palm branch in my hand on Palm Sunday.
Wow.
So what are you going to do with that? Now, here we are in John chapter 12. Now watch this. If you just look at your Bible, that's why you want your Bible out. At the beginning is the anointing at Bethany, where Jesus was anointed. Then the scribes and the Pharisees and the wicked religious leaders of the day. This day we live in is no different than Jesus' day. There was many religious people, and they were wicked. Tried to kill Jesus and Lazarus. Now, John 12:12-19. Here we go. The next day, great multitude had come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. They took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found the young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. That is prophesied in the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verse number 9. And the part about Hosanna, that is prophesied in Psalm 118, verse 26. That's where you find them. Verse 16, his disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done those things to him. What's interesting is that the disciples just flowed with Jesus and said, well, I guess this is what we're doing, even though they didn't understand. Let's keep reading. Verse 17, therefore the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him because they heard he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. They are freaked out because the people are no longer following them. Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. I just want to read each of these so you can see the different story as people are in the Bible. Now watch this. This is what we know. Prophesied in the garden, we're going to go there. Jesus will crush the enemy's head. And on this day, Jesus crushing the enemy's head, riding on a donkey. So 4 feet are crushing his head, hallelujah. Not just Jesus, 2 feet. Now, that might not mean anything to you, but I thought that was pretty cool this morning when I thought it, when it hit me. Here we go. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Isn't that something? That's what the last one was. Mm-hmm. Here we go. When they drew near Jerusalem, came to Bethphage, the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, said, go into the village opposite you. Immediately you'll find a donkey tied in a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. Immediately they will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled that what was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, the king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on him, and set him on them. A very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who were with them and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. I put the song in. You can listen to it again. When he come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved. Now listen to this. All the city was moved. Now this is the Holy Spirit speaking. All the city was moved. Who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. And now let's go to Luke 19. Luke 19. And we'll have read all four of these today. I always like to do this because there's a lot of doctrines that people believe. But guys, what good does it do to believe a doctrine if it's not what the Bible says.
Amen.
I mean, Jesus was crucified on Wednesday, guys. There's no other way around it. Not Good Friday. That you can't spend 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth if you die on Friday. That's just a holiday that made it easy for us to have Friday afternoon off. There is no other reason of it.
Wednesday or Thursday?
See, here's the revelation. We'll get to it this week. Right. Right now, I'm in Luke 19:28. Boy, I get off real easy here. At 28, and we're going down through, I'm going to go all the way down through, I might read all the way to 48. Ready? This is good. This is, people talk about the triumphal entry, but they forget this next part. When he had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. Came to pass when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, the suburbs of Jerusalem, at the mountain called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples saying, go into the village opposite you, whereas as you enter, you'll find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose him and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're loosing it, thus you shall say, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent their way found it just as he has said to them. As they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said, hey, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of them. They must have said, oh, okay. Then they brought him to Jesus. They threw on their own clothes on the colt. Then they sat Jesus on him. As he went, many spread their clothes on the road. As he drew near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to God. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. He answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out.
Wow.
Now see, we've heard that said many times. If I don't praise him, the rocks are going to cry out. It's from Jesus coming in on the triumphal entry.
Wow.
Now see what happens when you read the Bible? You're like, wow, does it really say it? And it's like, yeah, that's exactly what it says. That's why you want to read it every day. Now watch this. 41, as he drew near, he saw the city, and he wept over it. Why? He's going to say it. Saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace. Jesus is speaking to the city now, not just people. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And then you will not leave one stone upon another because you did not know the day of your visitation. There's a whole lot of people in the day we live that miss the day of their visitation because they will not see the Lord. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have a title. You just have to diligently seek him every day. Now, I'm going to have to put my palm branches down because I'm...
Well, I was just happy I found them.
Yeah.
Because I'm fast coming to having to turn more pages. Here we go. Should have taped it to the chair. Anyways, but I want you to see this. Jesus was weeping over Jerusalem because they did not know that their day was upon them. Let that be said of you being here amongst all of us. And then all of it, for some reason, you're not getting anything that we're doing. You might say, well, Pastor, but I don't know like you. You're so intelligent. I'm not so intelligent. I'm a seeker. My greatest trait is I'm not going to spend one day that I don't seek God.
Mm-hmm.
You can interview Sister Leanne. She's going to probably tell you there ain't nobody that seeks God like this man, because I don't care what's going on. I'm going to God. I've said it for a couple of weeks. I don't see this next picture like I need to. But you said I would. Now I ask you for that wisdom. I declare I have the wisdom. Wisdom, come to me. What did I just do? I asked for it. I spoke it. And then I told wisdom to get to me. And then I'm going to do it again. Why? Because he rewards those who diligently seek him. Did you notice that it says here, where did it go? Verse 39. Some of the Pharisees called in from the crowd, rebuke your disciples. Why? Because the multitude of the disciples were praising and glorifying God. And what's the answer? Not the church, not the building, not the denomination, not anybody's discipleship class, even my own. You wake up in the morning and say, God, I need you.
Amen.
Think about it. I want God, but Leanne can't have my want for God save her life. She has to have her own desire for God. She has a strong desire for God. Every single one of us are going to stand in front of Jesus all by ourselves. And on that day, we're going to have to look at Jesus and say, this is what I did with you. Remember what Jesus said to Peter? Or to the disciples, who do men say that I am? And that's one of the most important questions you'll ever answer. Let's keep reading. 45, this is all in the same day. Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Now, when you look at that set of verses about Jesus weeping over Jerusalem, this is the only reference of it. It's in Luke. Jesus literally. Well, let me just go there. I want to read it out of the Bible. John chapter 21 and verses 24 and 25. Look at what the Apostle John said at the end of his book about Jesus. This is the disciple, John 1, 24 and 25. This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. Now, verse 25. There are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. The last verse of the Apostle John's great writing was, everything Jesus did was made in a book written one by one. The world would not be able to contain them. Can you imagine when he had a crowd of 20,000 people and he healed everyone that was there? What happened when they got back to that village, wherever their village was? I mean, them people were like, I got my arm. I got an arm. Can you imagine? Somebody went back, that leprosy had eaten out their eye, and they went back to their village, and they're like, why, Lazarus, look at you. You got an eye. Where'd you get that eye? Well, I was down at the evangelistic meeting with Brother Jesus, and he was preaching over there. But see, people don't want to let that be. They want Jesus to be, oh, holy and sanctimonious. Oh, no. No, he was a real man in a real crowd with real hungry people. Sick, diseased, and everywhere he went, he touched people and changed their life. Let's just paint the picture now. You ready? Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, and we're just going to lay this picture out all the way from Genesis to the book of Mark or the book of John, whichever one of those you like the best. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26, 27, and 28. God said, let us make man in our image, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And let us make him after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over all the cattle, and over everything that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And God blessed them. Say it. I have a blessing that comes clear from the garden. And it's still on me. Woo! All right. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and all of the garden. Chapter 2, verse number 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them was finished being made. I got to get my verses out here because I'll wander around on this. And then we'll be talking a whole bunch of stuff, and I really need to be focused. Ready? Verse number 8. The Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Verse number 15. The Lord God took the man, put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Our assignment on this earth is to tend and keep this earth. That's why you and I are here. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, put man on it, and our assignment is to tend and keep the earth. That was verse number 16. And the Lord, let's see, it's verse 18. The Lord God said, it's not good that man would be alone. One guy said, I wonder what Adam was doing. Why, God said it is not good for him to be alone. He was out wandering around. He needed a wife to say, no, eat this. So out of the ground, I'll make him a helper comparable to him. He made Eve, brought him to Adam, and Adam's like, whoa, man. And she was called woman. A man with a womb. That's where it comes from.
Wow.
All right, chapter 3, verse number. Are you kidding me? I copied and pasted. There it is. Chapter 3, verse number 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God really said you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? Verse number 4. Serpent said to the woman, you won't die. Verse 5. For God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, did that happen? Yeah, they knew good and evil, but they didn't have to. They were surrounded by the glory, and they had all of the glory of God. Adam literally named every species of being on the earth. They said he had a vocabulary of millions. I've heard different people say, but a million words. Can you imagine everything he named? Verse 14. Well, then, of course, Adam and Eve sinned. I better get back to my Bible, not just my notes. And let's see. Verse number 6. So she took of the fruit, crazy women, and she gave it to her husband who was with her, crazy man, and he ate it. Adam could have looked at her and said, Eve, put that fruit down, and sin wouldn't have happened. Well, then they hid themselves, and God showed up. And verse 9, the Lord God called to Adam and said, where are you? I'm going to go 9 through 15. Genesis 3, 9 through 15. Lord God called to Adam and said, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice. And I was afraid because I'm naked. And I hid myself. And God said to him, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave with me, she gave me the tree. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this you've done? And the woman said, it's the serpent. Do you see it? Passing the buck. The Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust. And all the days of your life, I will put enmity between you and the woman. This is Jesus standing in the garden, looking at the enemy, saying, you have violated my precious possession. I am going to crush your head. Between your seed and mine, he, notice that he is capitalized, he shall bruise your head and you will bruise his heel. Jesus crushed the enemy's head. Then God said the rest of that to them. In the garden at the sin, it was prophesied, Jesus will crush your head. Well, now let's go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Let's just follow it through. 700 years before Jesus was born, it is prophesied by the prophet Isaiah, unto us a child. Wait, I got to get the right word. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. The governments were never removed from Jesus' shoulders. From the foundation of this world that was set up, Jesus would be the supreme sacrifice. And those governments were never removed. The prophet Isaiah, 700 years before Christ, said, enemy, are you listening? The governments will be on Jesus' shoulders forever. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from this time forward, even forevermore. At the garden, when the sin happened, the Lord Jesus showed up and prophesied to the devil. 700 years before Jesus was going to be on the earth, he prophesied and said, I am coming to this earth. Now, when you and I go to Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, we see Jesus show up. All right? So, Mary has said, even so be it done unto me according to your holy word. She went and saw Elizabeth. Elizabeth shouted, Jesus, jump, John, jump. Jesus and John were filled, or John was filled on the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. All of that wonderful stuff happens. Now, let's go to 2, verse 4 through 19. I won't read them all because I'm fast running out of time and I got more word to read. I like reading the Bible. Don't you like reading the Bible? Because everybody can say whatever they want to say about whatever they want to say. But when you read it in the word does not lie. And you can believe what I'm reading because I'm reading it to you right out of the word of God. Luke chapter 2, verse number 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days came. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, the lowliest, the most looked down on in the whole society was the shepherds. And Jesus came to the shepherds. No matter your position in life, Jesus has come to you. Now watch what happens. An angel of the Lord stood in front of the shepherds, and the shepherds were like, whoa, dude. I mean, think about it. The glory of the Lord shone around about them. They were greatly afraid. They were out in the dark. There wasn't no streetlights then. They didn't have the cell phone.
So it was dark.
It was just dark. Yeah. But, of course, their eyes were used to it, and they had learned to, you know, deal with it. And then the angel showed up. The angel said, do not be afraid. They're like, right, dude, look at yourself. Have you looked in the mirror lately? That's what I believe they said. I bring you tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who's Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. He's talking to these disciples, shepherds. You will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. Suddenly there was with that angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. They were saying, Hosanna. Wait, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all men. So when the angels left, the shepherd says, we better get ourselves in gear and go find what's going on in Jerusalem. And they went and they knelt before him. Verse 17, when they had seen him, they made widely known. What those shepherds do? They spoke everywhere to everyone they met. You should have seen what we seen the other night. And you know some people, wow, I wish I could have been there. Then others, remember, there's those who mock, those who believe, and those who hear you again. Then there's those that said, yeah, right, you guys see stuff all the time. And then there's other people like, you didn't see that, and you know it. Wait, that's what happens every time the word is spoken. Yeah. Look at 19. Mary kept all these things, and they put them in her heart. Now, Jesus grew. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. And let's read. We read this week, but I'm going to read it again. 48 to 52. Isn't this a great through the Bible?
It is.
I love this. See, when we get the Bible out and we actually believe what God wrote in the Bible, we actually get to see what God's doing in the Bible. We actually can see who God is. Here we go. What did I tell you? 48. So when they saw him, they were amazed. His mother said, son, why have you done this to me? I mean, Luke said us, but you know how moms are. Why'd you do this to me? Your father and I have sought you anxiously. And Joseph is standing in the background going, shaking his head. Yeah, we did. She was freaked. Now, don't do that again. Wait, we're just
being... I bet they were.
We were just being real. That's all we're doing. And he said, Jesus is speaking because he hears the words of the Father. Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom. He had to grow in wisdom because that's what we have to do. He grew in stature because that's what we're going to do. And favor with God and man because that's what we have to do. And Jesus is the faithful high priest, just like it says in the book of Hebrews. Now watch this. Then Luke chapter 4, we were here this week. Luke 4, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And yes, for all of you that are saying, Pastor, slow down, Sister Leanne's already said it to me.
Oh, I'm kidding. Just gets along with it. Wound up in the word.
Whoops. Rebecca said I don't have sound, so I turned up my volume. That doesn't work, all right?
Did that help you, Rebecca?
But see, here's the anointing on Jesus' life. Right here. He came to set the captives free. And he did it. Now we're getting back to Mark chapter 11. Started out there. We'll make it back there. Then he closed the book, verse 20, gave it to the attendant, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And I want to tell you something. You got to see this, guys. On the day he revealed himself as the Messiah, the whole crowd, not the whole crowd, many in that crowd who knew him, turned on him, took him to the edge of the hill to throw him down and stone him. Those that knew him. And in this day that you and I live, we should expect nothing else. I want people to receive the word I'm preaching, but when they don't and they go off angry and they talk about us, what are you going to do? Don't chase them. Let them go. Why? Because you can't make anybody want the things of God. If nature itself, I can see outside Francetta's window, clear blue Michigan sky. If the very attributes of God that you can see in nature does not tell you who God is, you are willingly blind because the sun warms your life every day.
Amen.
The sun was coming through the window in the bedroom. I sat right in the sun. I'm like, man, that feels good this morning. It was feeling wonderful. But see, that in itself teaches us who God is. And you and I must every single day of our life make sure we know who God is. Let's keep reading. I'm going to get stuck there and I can't get stuck there. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 verses 35 through 38. And then chapter 10, verse 1. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Jesus was moved with compassion. Not only did he see their physical need, you know, healing in their bodies I don't have the exact reference, but it says that there was many who came that were maimed and he gave them body parts back. Jesus performed mighty miracles. A miracle is above the natural. It's a supernatural. It's something that doesn't happen naturally. But he did many of them, and he did it where you could see it and right out in public where people could see it. But Jesus was moved with compassion. Why? Because they were like sheep wandering without a shepherd. What's worse than physical sickness in your body is that you don't have someone teaching you who God is. 37, he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus was moved with compassion. Well, chapter 10, verse number 1, when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power. Say this, Jesus gave them power.
Jesus gave them power.
See, they hadn't earned that power in themselves. Jesus gave it to them.
Right.
Over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. And he sent them out two by two. Now watch this. Let's just read it. No, we don't have time. I want to read it, but we don't have time. When they went, he told, verse 8, we'll read 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Jesus told them to raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received this power. Freely give it. It's not you. It's not me. It's not anybody else. None of the great healers. It's not because of them. They're just people that willingly receive what God had done in their lives and what he was going to be doing in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, let's go over to Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. This is Jesus as he's talking to the disciples at the end of sending them out. He who receives you receives me. 10:40-42. He who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives him, God, who sent me, Jesus. He who receives a prophet in the name of the prophet will receive the prophet's reward. He who receives a righteous man in the name of the righteous man will receive the righteous man's reward. And whoever gives a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. That's the blessing of doing the work of God. And now, from there, throughout the rest of the New Testament, Jesus is doing that work that he sent the disciples up. They came back saying, wow, even the demons were subject to us. They came back saying, they were rejoicing, and he said, well, don't rejoice over that. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And yet, here's Jesus at the very end of his ministry, looking at Jerusalem, saying, if only you would have desired to see. You have to desire to see. You don't have to have a degree. You have to have a desire to see. The greatest missionaries of this world were not men of great renown. They were men that said, you're going to do that through me? All right, let's go. T.L. Osborne, well, I ain't nobody great, and I don't know anything great. I'm just going to show up. And when I show up, Jesus shows up because he's in me and he told me to go, so let's go. And he became one of the wisest missionaries there ever was over the whole world. He would literally land his jet in a foreign nation, stand on the steps and say, T.L. Osborne is here and so is God Almighty. And then miracles, signs, and wonders would happen everywhere. We heard the story of the man who was the missionary there down in Central America or Mexico, wherever it was, and he went up in the mountain and found the man that was a leper and healed the whole mountain full of lepers.
Yeah.
Why? Because he was just wise enough to say, oh, that's what you said? Well, let's go do it. And Jesus moved in a mighty way. Now, Jesus, let's get Jesus back on the donkey riding in on Palm Sunday. The people are saying, Hosanna. Blessed is he. I'm in John 12. Blessed is he. That's verses, we've already been there, John 12:12-19. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus is riding in, having accomplished his Father's will. It's done. He's rejoicing. The people are rejoicing. And yet, after Jesus gets in, hold on just a second. I'm about to lose my juicer. There we go. After Jesus rides in and they've all made a big deal in Jerusalem, Jesus goes in the temple and says, are you kidding me? And drives the people out on that day once again saying, let me just remind you what God's house is supposed to be.
Amen. That was the day we were down in the colt?
That was the same day. The same day. He got off the colt and said, well, somebody got some leather strands because I got to braid me a whip. And he drove them people out of the temple that day. See, people want to make Jesus gentle, meek, and mild, just standing around with his hands folded, with a very sanctimonious look on his face, like, don't y'all just love me? Jesus was a carpenter with big muscles and strong hands, and he went in there, and he tipped the tables over.
Yeah.
after he went in. Why? Because they were out of order. Now listen.
You don't insult the Father.
You do not insult the Father. Now, you don't hear this much when people teach about what happened with the triumphal entry. But after Jesus cleansed the temple, Jesus healed some more people after he cleansed the temple. Now, I'm forgetting. Well, I'm going to get off. I can't do that. Jesus healed more people. Why? Because until the very last minute of his life, Jesus was doing his Father's work. You ready? Think about it. He told Peter at the Last Supper, I've prayed for you. You're going to make it, even though you'll deny me. His heart was broken, but he had to send Judas out. You ready? Say it. He's Jesus the healer.
He is Jesus the healer.
In the garden, when Peter, with a sword that Jesus had just asked them if they had one, took the sword and cut off the servant's ear, Jesus reached down, picked up the servant's ear, put it back on his head, and healed his servant right there as the servant was there trying to take Jesus away. Can you imagine the blood of Jesus that was spread on the man that was giving him the cat of nine tails? Wait, that was a horrible beating. But that was Jesus' blood being shed. Wouldn't it be something to be able to follow that man's life? Because you know, with the blood of Jesus all over him, you know the man came to Jesus. He may have been one of the Romans standing at the bottom of the cross saying, I don't know what happened to me, but that's a righteous man. I want you to see this. On the cross, Jesus' ministry was not done. One man mocked him, and the other man received him. On the cross, minutes of his ministry being done, Jesus reached out and grabbed his disciple and said, to this day, on this very day, you will be with me in paradise. His work was not done. And then he closed his eyes and he said, it's finished. And the veil of the temple was rent in two and gave you and I access to come boldly. That's why it's in our communion verses. That we get to come boldly before the throne of God. Why? Jesus opened up the veil, and the veil is removed from our eyes, and we get to come right in boldly before our Father and talk and commune with him every day of our life. Isn't this a good word today? Isn't this a good word? Jesus, the gospel of the kingdom must be preached. Jesus was crushing the enemy's head with donkey feet. All the way into Jerusalem that day, Jesus was in the triumphal entry, and there was nothing no enemy could do. And even after Jesus got there, Jesus was filled with power and strength. And he defeated that enemy all the way to the cross. And I think the coolest thing about Jesus' defeat of the enemy is that as soon as he said it's finished, Jesus carried all of that sin, sickness, sorrow, sadness, pain. He carried it all straight into hell, dropped it where it belonged, and then as a sacrificial lamb said, I am here in hell. Bring me the keys. And he grabbed the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And I don't know everything to tell you that went on for 3 days and three nights in the center of the earth. That's what's about him. We'll get to it this week. But whatever it, all of it was that went on was Jesus crushing and destroying the power of the enemy while he was in hell as the sinless lamb. Hallelujah. Wait, and you ready? And now he has to make his abode in you and me. And Jesus taught us that at the very end of his ministry in John chapter 14. Well, I wasn't going to read them, but I might as well. Since I'm here, I'm just going to do it. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, 20 and 23. 16, 17, 20 and 23. I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter, helper, that he will abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Verse 20, and that day you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. That's talking about being one with God. Verse 23, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. And my Father, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Aren't you glad that Jesus lives inside of you? You can take this very teaching right here, and you can send it to people who don't know Jesus, and I'm going to walk them through the triumphal entry and then all the way to the garden, right back to the triumphal entry, and now the cross, and Jesus rose again, like we say every time we come here, and he gave gifts to men, which is you, the body of Christ, me, a fivefold ministry gift, and all of us working together, being Jesus on this earth, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, we're going to receive communion, and of course, in that, we're going to have the prayer of salvation. It's the next thing we're going to do. There's nothing better to do on Palm Sunday than to make sure you're right with God. Wherever you may be around the world, I encourage you right now to pray the prayer of salvation with me. I encourage you to do the things that it takes to become a child of God. I encourage you. This is the most important moment of this Palm Sunday day. If you don't know Jesus, or if you've been away from him, right now to come to him and say, Jesus, I need you in my life right now. He will come to you immediately, and you will have the experience of Jesus being on the inside. Listen, it's much more than a feeling. It's much more than a goosebump. But some of you might have those, and you might feel that rush and that joy and that glory coming all over you. But this is the reality of it. Our God is getting ready to fill you with himself right now and make his abode inside of you in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Are you ready? Pray the prayer of salvation with me now. Everybody pray it. No matter how many times you've heard it, pray it again right now, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord in your life every day. Thank you for the communion element. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again.
And you rose again.
On the third day for me.
On the third day for me.
Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life right now.
I receive you into my life right now.
All of your love. All of your mercy.
All of your
grace.
All of your
righteousness.
All of your righteousness.
I receive you now.
I receive you now.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word.
Pray
of God.
In my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Now that you've prayed that prayer, you're ready to receive the communion elements. You might say, Pastor, what's going on? Well, on the inside of you just came this revelation. Light. Jesus, who is the light of the world, has now just filled every part of your life. Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. And guess what? He just filled you. You said all of your grace, your love, and your mercy because we know to lead you in that prayer. Guess what you just received? All of his grace, all of his mercy, all of his love, and all of his righteousness. And all you had to do was just ask. And you did that. And he came in.
Amen.
And now you're ready to receive the communion elements. So, you ready? Let's receive our communion elements now. We're going to read the verses and we'll receive them together. Verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, we don't usually do this in this manner, but that's all right. We're just going with it today. So, let's receive the bread together now. Ready? Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Ready, say it with me. You were wounded.
You were wounded.
For my transgression.
My transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my
is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my
emotion. Nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
Because of your broken body, Jesus.
Your broken body, Jesus.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus' mighty name.
Verse 25. And in the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, he said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You ready? Let's receive the bloodshed of Jesus. And now, pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By by the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed
and
away.
And all things have become new.
And all things
and
have become
I thank
new.
You for
and
it,
I
Jesus.
And I thank you for it, Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly.
I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and
help. Every day.
Every day.
For my assignment.
For my assignment.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the words of my testimony.
And the words of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague.
Every plague.
Has to pass over my life.
Has to pass over
and
my
cannot
life,
be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
It is. My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any
when
other
you
blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty
in
name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Well, you might say, that's a different communion service than I've ever seen. Well, it was even different for us.
Yeah.
But it's okay, because we just flowed with it. All right? What happened is I got a revelation right at the end of the teaching, and I got on my inside, on the inside of me, I'm like, I'm thinking about it, and then I'm like, uh-oh, I don't know where I am. Well, let's get everybody saved. That's the first thing you always got to do, is let's get everybody saved. Oh, no, we were supposed to be receiving communion.
Sorry, it was still beautiful.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the family. My email address and website is in the notes of each of the different platforms. And we're here to be a blessing to you and your family. I encourage you to receive communion every day. It's on the website. If you go to samueljcottle.com, everything has my name on it, so it's easy for you to find. Once you know me, then everything you're going to find is going to make it easy for you to find it. And when you get there, we've written this out so you can actually read it and do it at home every day. Because how often do you need Jesus' broken body?
Every day.
Every day. How often do you need his bloodshed? Every day. How often do you need the infilling of the Holy Spirit? Every single day. And so we bless you. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for coming and being a part of our Palm Sunday program. Didn't the ladies do a good job of decorating? Thank you so much. I love it. I think it's wonderful. It's simple, but it's wonderful. And, you know, we're not on a motorcycle because then there ain't no decorations except a beautiful sunset behind you. And or the sunrise in the morning. Wait, no, sunrise service, that's coming next Sunday. And up from the grave.
Even
rose.
If we would have been on the road on our way home, but
all right. Now, this is what I want to say. One more thing. Be with us this week because we're going to talk about all of the events of this week. And I want you to see them. Everybody does Palm Sunday. Jesus rode in, kind of hung out with the disciples until he died. Oh, no, Jesus was busy every single day until that last moment. Yeah. As I just said. On the cross, minutes before he died, he said to the thief, today you will be with me in paradise. Never do we ever stop going and growing in God Almighty. Never. We're going to stay at it until the moment we take our last breath and believe that at the last breath there'll be somebody there saying, wow, them people knew Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name. So, till we see you again, which will be tomorrow at noon, This is what we have to say.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. For all of our close partners and friends, those of you with us on Zoom, we'll still be here in a minute. Those of you that are not in Zoom and you'd like to be, well, then send me an email and say, hey, Pastor, add me to it, because I don't just put people in there. We only want people that want to be there. And that'll be a blessing to you, too. We hang out and talk about everything, like literally everything.
Today it was eating pizza.
The whole pizza. We love you. Have a great day. May God bless you and your family. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.